Well, good morning. So I have to tell this story just because one day Brett's actually going to show the video. The very first time I got to preach at Century Meadows was actually during COVID. And if you remember COVID days, well, for those that remember COVID days or want to remember COVID days, what we did is on Thursday we would come here, we would record everything, and then we would play, then we would actually show that on Sunday or put it live on Sunday. So first time I ever preached, I got up here and there is, so technically I think we had three people in the back. One of our older elders were in the audience, and I started and I thought, okay, good. Told the first joke and everybody laughed, the one elder laughed, so I knew maybe it was okay. And then all of a sudden I lost my spot. So then I went cut. And I went, okay, let's start over again. And I realized I can't do that now. So, oh well. With both Pastor Rob and Brett gone, I was asked to preach this Sunday. And it is definitely an honor to always bring God's word to the congregation. One of the things I really do love doing is watching people. I don't know if you guys like watching people. If you go to the mall and you watch people, it's always fun. I like watching the guys with all the bags looking defeated. But what's funnier is when the guy is actually the shopper and the wife is not, and she's holding all the bags going, come on, get out. Like, it's always fun to watch different reactions to people. So I thought we'd go through a few pictures and just sort of see what kind of reaction you guys have to certain things. So the first one is, of course, pineapple on pizza. Oh, oh. Not bad. All right, what about this one? This one? Pastor Rob likes these guys, so... All right, for the geeks in town. Okay, just a quick story. I'm a Star Wars fan. My wife has no clue who Chewbacca is. Just saying. This one for the other geeks in town. There's, yeah. My wife is the Trekkie in the house, so, you know, had to throw that one on. All right. Kate, someone lifted their feet already, so that was good. There's one in the back, too, just so you were. No, just kidding. And finally, I know. It's always fun. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together and worship you. And Lord, I pray as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that you will just guide my lips. And Lord, I pray that only what you need to have heard will be heard. Lord, thank you today for all that you're giving us. In your name, amen. Well, when Pastor Rob called me and said, okay, you can preach, and then I said, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, whatever you want, and I said, no. Because the last time I did that, I think I almost got in trouble because I think I talked about money or something. I don't know. It was one of those ones where I probably shouldn't have done. But he said, well, why don't you just keep going in the book of Mark? And that's where we're going to go. So if you have your Bibles with us, please turn with me to Mark chapter 14 because we're just going to keep going. In this book or in this passage that we're looking at, we get four different reactions to Jesus. And in it, we want to see where we stand and how we react to Christ. The first section that we're going to talk about, and it's actually broken into three different sections. There's four different reactions, actually technically five, but four different reactions. But it's broken into three sections. And the first section is the first couple of verses. And just to get context, we're just about to enter and start the Passover. And this is the big Jewish holiday that everybody's going to be there. And so this is where we're starting off. So read with me verses, do I have the right one? There we go. verses 1 and 2. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the laws were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. Not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. So the timing is interesting. Again, like I said, Passover is about to start. We're not really too sure how many people are in the surrounding area who's come in, but they're talking anywhere between a few hundred thousand or possibly more than a million. And among these would have been people that heard Jesus speak already and were following him and had seen his miracles. These are the ones that were singing when we talked about Palm Sunday just weeks ago. So the chief priests, sometimes they're smart because they actually realized that they really wanted a time how they were going to get rid of Jesus. They didn't want to do it during this festival because they were scared of a riot. So they were trying to get this sly way of doing it. But I want to talk about their reaction. What is their reaction to Jesus? Their reaction is hatred. They just hated him. Why? Because just earlier than this, Jesus had come into the temple. He had cleared out all the money-changing tables, basically saying to those that were running things, you're doing a bad job. You're not doing what you're supposed to. And guess who those guys were? Well, those were the chief priests and the Pharisees. And so they were already angry. They wanted to be able, they wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to listen to Jesus. This is a reaction that most of us had before we knew Christ. We didn't like Christ. We didn't want anything to do with him for the most part until we actually came face to face. And so many of, and all of us here came face to face with him and realized that we wanted to follow. But for them, they came face to face and they didn't want to deal with him. In my family, there are two people that I want to talk about. First is, I'm going to say my sister. My sister grew up in the church just like I did, went to Bible college, was actually a youth leader, went to Bible college to become a nurse missionary. That was her goal in life. And then something happened and she rejected Christ. And Christ is now, and in her own words, Jesus is on the shelf. If I want him, I know where he is. And besides that, we're just going to leave him over there. To a point, my sister really doesn't like anything to do with Jesus. When we bring up what goes on in the church, it's a very fast conversation. The other person is one of my family members, and he grew up in the church. He was actually a pastor's kid. And he completely rejected Christ. In fact, he would almost go down to the word to say, I hate Jesus. I hate Christianity. Why? Because it doesn't suit his lifestyle. And that's where the chief priests were at. It doesn't suit what's going on in our life. So we just hate Jesus. We want to get rid of him because he's in my way. Where are you at? Is there some hatred toward Jesus? Are you just wanting to do your own thing? Well, the next scene we enter is in Simon the leper's house and this unnamed woman. Let's read verses 3-9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand and prepared for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Picture this. Jesus and his disciples and probably a whole bunch of other guests are eating at the home of Simon. Presumably, that Jesus had healed. They were reclining around a table as custom, probably with their, by the way, their tables are this big, not this big. So they were on the ground. They were sort of laying around, had their feet out, eating around. The table was definitely short. But then during this meal, a woman enters. According to other scriptures, she's named Mary. This is Mary. But she enters. She's carrying an incredibly expensive jar of perfume. She doesn't just open it. Read the scriptures. It's neat. She doesn't just open it and pour. She breaks it. The fact that it's broken means she intends to give all of it to Jesus. In fact, John's account also tells us that she didn't just pour it on his head, but poured it on his feet and then wiped those feet with her hair. The perfume itself, the plant that actually produces the nard at the time, was actually grown in the Himalayas. And so this perfume was very expensive. They say 30 denarii or a year's wages. Today, that would be anywhere from 25 to 30 or more thousand dollars easily. This was literally a gift for a king, not just some random person. She gave everything. What kind of gift do you give? Do you go all out for Jesus? In the Bible, we hear things like first fruits. We should give our first fruits, the best of everything that we have, first and foremost. I grew up in an era where we talked about our Sunday best. And no, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, just so you're aware. We're not going to talk about clothes. But what do we give? That's the question. It's how do we react to Jesus? How do you worship Jesus? How do you serve him with everything that you have? That's what Mary did. That's what that woman did. Everything she had, she gave to him. Well, the third reaction comes within that same story, and that's with the disciples. What was their reaction? Well, they're indignant. They're like a, how dare you? But they also reacted without understanding what was going on. Earlier, I talked about Sunday best, and I'm going to go down this rabbit hole just slightly. Just because I grew up in a church where Sunday best was a thing. There was a Sunday evening service. I told this story lots. Some people have heard this already. There's a story that goes, one of our deacons, it was a Sunday evening service. It was a camp service. So here's all these campers from our local church camp coming back from camp into service that day. None of us smelled nice. And one of our deacons who had been helping at the camp came in. He was wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and I just happened to be in the same room at the same time, so I can see this happened. The other deacons pulled him aside and said, how dare you come to church in shorts as a deacon? Wow. It stuck with me for very many years. It took me a long time not to wear a tie. I'll just say that. For a while. The other story I want to tell is about a group of people that lived right across the street from the church I grew up. It was part of the community living program. And so two of the people that lived there all of a sudden heard the music coming out of our church and came in and sat down because they just liked the music. And that was great. They were disruptive, yes, and that was okay for some. And they actually, long story short, they actually became part, we talked to their workers, and they became part of our community, which was so neat to have them there. Because they worshiped all full out. It was awesome. They're, for a very conservative Baptist church that didn't know how to clap, they did, like, literally, we did the alligator clap thing. Like, it was terrible. But for that conservative Baptist church to have these guys in, and all of a sudden the pastor would say something, and they'd actually yell amen, it was awesome. It was pretty cool. However, there were people that they ended up sitting in their pew. And those people moved to the other side as far away from those people as they could, those two guys. And it was sad to see. That's the reaction of the disciples. So where are we at? Are we like that? Are we more worried about the aesthetics of our church, the aesthetics of where we're, how we sit, how we pray, what we look like? Or are we worried, or are we more worried about worshiping Christ full out and going? The final scene that we want to talk about is Judas. And this is verses 10 and 11. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. What was Judas' reaction? Well, full out, he betrayed him. He went from being just indignant about this money that was being that could have been spent for the poor to being a point of betrayal. The hatred came through. And of course, the chief priests were delighted. Their problems were solved. They were able now to find a place to, and as we will learn in the coming weeks, that they did find a place to arrest Jesus and do what they wanted to do. Here's the crazy part. Judas was so worried about this $25,000, $3,000, $30,000 bottle of perfume, and he was upset about that because he was the money guy, and that was one of the reasons why he left, or at least I'm going to presume that a little bit. So he was so worried about money, and his part of the whole thing about him is it was all about the dollar. Do you guys realize that he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which at that time, maybe, or in our day, maybe worth a couple $1,000s at the high end? To me, I'm amazed of what happens. His reaction grew from being a little indignant to growing to be betrayed, and in so many ways, all the way to that anger. 15 years ago, I went through a very struggling time in my life. I was a pastor for probably 20 years of my life, and 15 years ago, or give or take, I went through a divorce. It was a major, ugly scene that I am... to this day, it hurts still. But the reality is, when I look back, I had to look at my reaction. My reaction wasn't, okay, God, let's work this through. And yeah, that was not my reaction. My reaction was one of anger. My wife always gets shocked when I see these words. I actually had a swearing match with God. Well, I had a swearing match. He just listened a lot. And that was tough to go through because That was my reaction. I was Judas. I wanted to have nothing to do with Jesus at that point because I thought he betrayed me. But he was teaching me lessons, and he was just coming alongside. By the way, 15 years later, I'm still here, and Jesus has come alongside me. And that's the last reaction that I want to talk about, Jesus' reaction. Jesus' reaction to all of this was defense to the person who worshiped them, him. He said, "Don't you get it, you guys? This woman did everything. She worshiped everything with all she had. That's what's right at this moment in time. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about that because you're always going to have poor. You're always going to have to be taking care of people. That will continue." But his reaction was one of love. For me, that was 15 years ago, it was one of love. He came alongside me and made sure that I understood it all. And that's why I'm still here, because Jesus loved me all the way. Crazy part is, he still loved the disciples. He corrected them, yes, but he still loved them. He still wanted them to come alongside and see what was going on. And guess what? They finally figured it all out. I always find that, okay, just a little side note. Do you ever find the disciples sort of stupid some days? They just couldn't get it. It was like right in front of them. I love the Bible because we get to see it now. And you just go, oh, would I have been the same way? Probably. That's the sad part. But Jesus came along and loved them anyways. You want the scariest part is? He actually loved the chief priests and all of those people that wanted to kill him. Because days after this event happened, he died for their sins and all of our sins. Pretty impressive is what I say, and that is why we worship him all out. So my question always comes back is, what's your reaction? Four different groups of people having four different views of Jesus. We watched the chief priests do their best to just murder him. They hated him completely. We watched the disciples be indignant, not wanting change, or they didn't want anything to, they wanted to keep status quo or something like that. But we also see Judas, who took that step one more step, and he joined the chief priests, rejecting Jesus. But then we saw the woman who gave everything. She knew that Jesus was Lord, and she worshiped him. And through it all, Jesus' reaction was with love and honoring those who worshiped him. So where are you at? What's your reaction? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the fact that you loved us so much that no matter where we were in life, you called us. And you will love us no matter how our reactions are with you. Lord, today there are some here that might be angry. Things might not be going their own way and they want to blame you. But Lord, I pray that you will come alongside like you did with me and just love. Lord, I pray that you will guide us in worshiping you all out, giving you the best that we have. Thank you for all that you're about to do and what you've done in the past. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to guide us. In your name, amen.